government is an institution of God, but government was never to oppress the people.
Dr. Tony Evans says society pays a penalty when God's authority is canceled.
When men do not learn to be ruled properly by God, they will be ruled wrongly by man, because man will seek to become God.
This is the Alternative Broadcast, featuring the timeless biblical teachings from the archives of Dr. Tony Evans. It doesn't take an earthquake to shake a foundation. A slow, steady shift over time will do it. Today, Dr. Evans reveals how easily success can lead to spiritual compromise, and how that compromise can spread if we don't let God rule our decisions. Let's join Tony in Judges chapter 8 as he begins.
Now, an interesting shift begins to occur in verse 22. A slight shift, but it will become major as we keep flowing through the book and extracting principles for our own lives. Because remember, the Old Testament was written for our example. We don't repeat point for point because the church is not a political entity in that sense that the nation of Israel was. But there are principles, because God does not change, that are consistent to his character that transcends the Old Testament and is relevant for us today. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, "Rule over us, both you and your son, also your son's son, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian." What they asked for is for Gideon to become their king. Rule over you. He was already their deliverer. He's already functioning as their judge. They're saying, no, we want more. We want you to be our king. Now, you have to understand something. God's plan for Israel was for them not to be like the other nations, that he would be their God, and that they would only have a king when he was ready for them to have one. They are insisting on Gideon, because of his great prowess with the 300, that he becomes their king. Gideon says, "I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." So that goes back to the principle. We will not become your king in the sense that we do not want to remove the divine rule directly over his people. That's why God had judges along the way, because he did not yet want them to have a monarchy until they learned to live life under him. And this, you'll see this flow throughout the Bible, because when men do not learn to be ruled properly by God, they will be ruled wrongly by man, because man will seek to become God. That is the problem with governments run amok, because what they do is they seek to become God. We call that statism, where men rule other men by force. So he says, no, I'm not going to do that. "Yet Gideon said to them, 'I would request of you that each one of you give me an earring from his spoil.' For they had gold earrings because they were Ishmaelites." Now this, follow this now. So, "I'm not going to be your king, but give me your earrings." They said, "We will surely give them." So they spread out a garment and they took the earrings. So he's getting this gold. And he does something in verse 27. "Gideon made into an ephod and placed it in the city Ophrah, and all Israel played the harlot with it there." The ephod it went over the chest of the high priest. It had 12 stones on it representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And it had the Urim and the Thummim on it, which were two stones that were used to discern God's will. Okay? Now, here's the key. The ephod only belonged to the priest and only were used in relationship to the tabernacle, the place of worship. went and he got something that did not belong to him and brought it to a place that it should not have been. He rejected one position, but he took another position that was illegitimate. And that illegitimate position, exercising a religious right and a religious authority that had not been assigned to him. And of course, he's acting in a role that he has not been appointed to act in. And all of Israel, because he's a superstar now, Gideon is a superstar, they're now looking to him to be the spiritual guide that was never authorized for him to do. Because that's what the ephod meant for the priest. He was going to be the spiritual in-between person. Well, that's not his role. And so they play the harlot there. That is, they are being unfaithful to God's program and God's process there. And it would become a snare, it would become a trap to both Gideon and his family. So he's acting out of alignment. He's out of spiritual alignment. The Bible says, whenever you go to the creation to look for guidance that has not been authorized, in Romans chapter 1. So when you're looking for guidance because you a Leo or you a, you know, whatever you are, you, that is illegitimate. When you go to a palm reader, you know, when you appeal to an illegitimate source, even if the source uses the name God, because the ephod was a legitimate tool, but it was being a legitimate tool used in an illegitimate way. Many times our prayers don't get answered, not because we're not having a legitimate request or not because we're not communicating that request to God, but it must be done in an authorized way, okay? An approved way. This was not approved, and it became a stumbling block to the nation and to Gideon. So Midian was subdued because he had defeated the kings and their armies, verse 28. They did not lift up their heads anymore, and the land was undisturbed for 40 years in the days of Gideon. Then Jerubbaal, which is Gideon's name, is the Baal fighter. He got that nickname because he fought against Baal. Gideon had 70 sons who was his direct descendants, for he had many wives. We talking about a whole bunch of wives. You got 70 kids, you got a whole bunch of wives, okay? This introduces the whole issue of polygamy. Of course, God stated his design for marriage. Male, female, the two shall be one. Not the two, three, four, five, six, seven, and eight, okay? Leviticus 18:18 and Deuteronomy 17:17 prohibited the multiplication of wives. And yet it's a problem all the way through the Old Testament. And virtually every time you see the multiplication of wives or the addition of wives, you got a messy situation. So he's got 70 sons from his many wives. So not only does he have many wives, he's got a concubine. He got a girlfriend. Verse 31, his concubine was in Shechem. She also bore him a son, and his name is Abimelech. That's major. This is major, because Abimelech's going to show up here, and he's going to be a big problem. You understand where this is going by his name. He names his son Abimelech. Abimelech means my father is king. That's what Abimelech means, and he names him. He names his son, my father is king. What does that tell you? He's trying to build a dynasty. So watch the progress. 1 minute he said, I'm not going to be a king. God's going to be your king. But I'm going to be a priest. So you can come to me for guidance from God. And then he got all these children. He's getting all his power, all his recognition. It's getting to his head. So he has this son. He belongs to the concubine. And he says, my father is king. So he's now setting the stage for a dynasty, which is what happens when you have unlimited power, when there's no accountability at all. God recognizes leadership. Leadership should be free to lead, but there's no such thing as no accountability. You know, and so now he's moving in a whole different direction. And Gideon, verse 32, the son of Joash died at a ripe old age and was buried in a tomb.
Dr. Evans will tell us how the people responded after Gideon's death when he returns in just a moment. Don't go away.
The Bible makes it clear that you know when God has cursed a land, when its fathers are nowhere to be found.
Dr. Tony Evans says that what becomes of the next generation of men depends on what happens with this one.
Our kids need to see men in their midst who love God and who love them.
But what does it take to be that kind of man? You can find out with the help of the Tony Evans Training Center's free course called Kingdom Man. It'll teach you to see past the phony images of manhood that society surrounds us with and become the loving leader that a wife and family would want to follow. As with all of our courses, there's in-depth study material you can work through at your own pace. Lots of exclusive content from Tony, tightly focused Q&A videos, and an online forum where you can collaborate with other students. It's almost like having a seminary on your smartphone. Check out the free course called Kingdom Man and the growing list of other subjects waiting for you. Visit TonyEvans.org today and follow the link to the Tony Evans Training Center.
The lesson we're hearing today comes from an informative 12-part series digging into the consequences of moral and spiritual compromise as chronicled in the book of Judges. This 2-volume collection underscores the need for our steadfast faithfulness to God. And it's available as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help support the ministry of The Alternative. Along with the 12 audio messages in the Judges series, you'll also receive an added bonus, Dr. Evans' powerful book, Kingdom Authority, where he examines the opportunity God gives believers to act as custodians of His creation. Being reminded of this inheritance will give you new strength to rise above life circumstances that may have once seemed overwhelming. Visit TonyEvans.org for details on how to get the Kingdom Authority book and the Judges audio series. And when you do, you'll also see an opportunity to add the Kingdom Authority Leaders Kit, which includes everything you need to lead a small group through these powerful lessons. Once again, visit TonyEvans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222 to take advantage of this limited-time offer. I'll have our contact information for you again after the second part of today's lesson. Let's get back to Dr. Evans now in the 8th chapter of Judges.
As soon as Gideon died, verse 33, the sons of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals. Now, there is the Baal singular, and then there are the Baals. It's like the church singular and then saying the church is. So individual locations were set up for Baal worship. And you remember in Gideon's own home, his father had a Baal set up in his own house. So they now are wandering from God again. What you have now is a bad situation in the making. Because if my father is king, then who am I? If my father is king, and he named me that, then I must be king in waiting. I'm the prince. So Gideon dies. We've got this syncretism going on. In chapter 9, then Abimelech is the one who's now rising. And he makes an argument in chapter 9 why he should be king. The first three verses, Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem to his mother's relatives, spoke to them and the whole clan of the household of the father, saying, "Speak now in the hearing of all the leaders of Shechem, which is better for you that 70 men, you know, all my half-brothers, all the sons of Jerubbaal, rule over you, or that one man rule over you. Also remember, I am your bone and your flesh." And his mother's relative spoke all these words on his behalf in the hearing of all the leaders of Shechem. And they were inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, "He is our relative." So they gave him the silver. He hired worthless men and reckless fellows. They followed him. So the men of Shechem are following now Abimelech. Then he went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal, 70 men on one stone. Polygamy set in motion a whole system of events that brought 70 boys into the world and a half brother over here. The half brother is given the position by the father of potentially being the king. The father dies, Gideon dies. He sets the stage by getting the men of Shechem and he wants to get rid of the competition. He doesn't want any revolt against him. So he kills them on one stone. Key phrase, one stone. So if you're only using one stone, this is one at a time, 70 people. Stones were altars. This is human sacrifice. That's why over and over again, Old Testament and New Testament, you see this consistent theme of compromising with idolatry. So he kills his 70 brothers, but Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. So you've got the youngest son, all the men of Shechem, and they assembled together. They went with Abimelech, made Abimelech king by the oak of the pillar, which was in Shechem. Well, this leads to a very interesting situation. Jotham, the youngest son. So he goes to Mount Gerizim, the place of blessing, and lifts up his voice and called out. Thus he said to them, "Listen to me, O men of Shechem, that God may listen to you." And he tells this story. He says, watch this. "Once the trees went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, 'Reign over us.' But the olive tree said to them, 'Shall I leave my fatness with which God and men are honored and go to wave over the trees?' Then the tree said to the fig tree, 'You come, reign over us.' But the fig tree said to them, 'Shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go to wave over the trees?' Then the tree said to the vine, 'You come, reign over us.' But the vine said to them, 'Shall I leave my new vine, which cheers God and men, and go to wave over the trees?' Finally, all the trees said to the bramble, 'You come, reign over us.' The bramble said to the trees, 'If in truth you are anointing me as king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, my fire comes out from the bramble and consumes the cedars of Lebanon.'" So what is all that about? He says the trees are looking for a leader. So the trees go look for this leader to rule over them. But in all of these cases, till you get to the bramble, the tree says, "No, we're not going to do that." The reason we're not going to do that is because what we are currently doing and what we are currently producing is honoring God and benefiting people. Notice each one, he says, God and man. So what we are doing is honoring God and honoring people. Finally, in their desperation to be ruled over, because they keep coming and say, rule over us, rule over us, they go to the bramble. What is the bramble? The bramble is a thorn bush. A bramble has thorns in it. It is unproductive, doesn't produce anything except thorns. So the bramble bush is a curse. They are so desperate to be ruled that they will even accept a cursed ruler that can produce nothing except needles. So you are giving power to an entity that cannot produce. The other trees, the other groups that they went to, says we can't go because we are being productive. The point is, good people don't seek to rule other people and control them while being unproductive themselves. That ought to help you choose a leader or reject a leader who wants power and all they can do is hurt you, because all a bramble does is stick you. But they want the power. That is the problem with expanding government all through the Bible. Government is an institution of God. So God created government. But government was never to oppress the people. It was to free people up to be productive. Nobody has the right to illegitimately control you. Nobody has the right to illegitimately control you. You see this in families. You see women being abused by illegitimate control. Or you can have it vice versa. Illegitimate control, that is going outside of God to control you. Okay, when God says he set us free, he set us free not only from illegitimate control, but from drugs. That's an illegitimate control, or some other kind of force of habit. He set you free from being illegitimately controlled by an unauthorized agent, which is why freedom is so important. Why you pursue freedom, because you want to remove illegitimate. Freedom doesn't mean no restraints. Freedom means removal of illegitimate restraints, restraints that are not authorized. Now, sometimes you can't control that because you may be living in a totalitarian regime that you don't have control over. But to the best of your ability, do not allow illegitimate control to deny the freedom that you've been granted in the gospel.
Dr. Tony Evans, with important words about maintaining a clear allegiance to God. Now, today's lesson is part of Tony's impactful series on the book of Judges. For a limited time, we're offering the complete 2-volume, 12-message collection on digital download, as well as on either CD or USB flash drive, packaged along with his powerful book, Kingdom Authority. This comprehensive set is our gift to you when you make a contribution to help keep Tony's teaching on this station. Just visit TonyEvans.org to get all the details and make your request, or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are available 24/7 to assist you. And be sure to ask about upgrading your package to include the companion Kingdom Authority Leaders Kit, designed to help these truths take root in your life and in the lives of others. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222 or online at TonyEvans.org. When a nation drifts from God, confusion and conflict often follow. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans looks at the way Israel's disobedience led to division and destruction, and how God turned the devil's work into his own tool for judgment. Be sure to tune in for this enlightening look at rebellion, repentance, and restoration.